and a little piece of history that we read about. Although I don't know about you, but when I read that story and when I hear that story, I don't know if you were brought up in the church or not, but if you were, maybe it takes you back to your childhood. Sometimes I feel like I'm in Sunday school as a child when I hear that story and when I hear the names of David and Goliath. But then I read the account and I am reminded that this is not a children's story. Although I fear it has been maybe made that way, much like Noah in the account of the flood and the ark. But it is not a children's story, and neither is Noah's story. It is the very word of God, and it is a description of God's faithfulness. And to quote a song from a group named Casting Crowns, "Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of 1,000 warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they had had the strength to stand." This is not a children's story. It is the Word of God, and it is an amazing piece of history. Well, how did David do it? This young shepherd boy from the country. It is a multifaceted question, is it not? How did David stand? So tonight, what we will try to do is to look into this question. How did David do it? How did he stand? And the obvious question is, he stood in the power of the Lord. That's the obvious answer to the question, That he stood empowered by the Lord. He knew that God would take care of him. But let's look in a little deeper into the question and just see what we can learn about David and how he stood and how we can apply that into our lives today and how the scripture applies that to us. Start at the end. It is a little bit of an anticlimactic end, isn't it? I always wondered why there was never a movie made about David and Goliath. It's anticlimactic. It would be very hard to stay true to the narrative and make a movie, because really all that happens is Goliath steps out on the field, David takes a stone and kills him. Done. It wasn't a big fight. It wasn't like Rocky. It wasn't, you know, blow after blow after blow, back and forth, back and forth. It was David walking out on the field, Goliath yelling at him, and David just goes, "Ah, done." The power of God in that little moment of time. But let's see what we learn, first of all, about David and how he looked at God's faithfulness in the past to determine where he is now. How does he look at where he is now? What the giant he's facing now, Goliath that he's facing now, what did he do to face this giant? The first thing we can glean from this text is that he looked to the past. He looked at God's faithfulness in the past. Verses 33 through 37 say this: "Saul replied, 'You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. And your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine.'" Look at this boy's faith. He knows in the past that it was God who rescued him from both the lion and the bear. He has no question about it. He looks back on his previous experience in life and he can see that God was there rescuing him, taking care of him, watching over him. And now he knows that this same God will allow him to destroy this man who dares to rise up against the armies of Israel. A.W. Tozer once said, "We will always see God through the rearview mirror in life." That's where we see God. We remember where God has been in the past. And we can look at the past and know because of what he's done in the past, he will be there in the present and he will be there in the future. David looked to the past to know that God would be there for him as he stood against Goliath. It is true, is it not? Today, Christian, we can take heart. And if you are here this evening and you know Jesus, then you have experienced his faithfulness in the past. You've experienced his faithfulness. You've watched as giants have been slain in your life. You know this to be true. And you've watched them be slain. You've watched them be thrown to the side. And you can take heart because God is not done yet. And whatever that giant is that you are going out to face this week, whatever it is, God will be there with you. He will walk with you. And he will be there. Because he's done it before, he will do it again. He is doing it even now. God will take you through and you will experience victory. Now, sometimes that victory is not always what we think it should be, but it is victory because it is perfect in God's ordained will for his children. He will not leave you and he will not forsake you. He has you. And if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ, can I take a moment to exhort you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you will experience victory in Christ, not because of you, but because of him, because of what he has done at the cross. Because he is the victor. And when he calls you by name. Well, God will take you through, and you can see that and you can have faith in that because of what you've experienced in the past. And that's one lesson from this account. That's one thing we can look to from this account. Secondly, what we can notice is this. As Christians living in this day and age, we can learn another lesson, or perhaps we could ask a question from the text. And I think what we should ask ourselves is this. What is our reaction to the flagrant hatred of God that is around us? What is our reaction? What do we think of when we hear God being berated, when his word is laughed at and scoffed? Are we disgusted by this and motivated to renew our efforts to share the gospel message with those around us? Or are we kind of ho-hum about it and turn the other cheek? David wasn't. David wasn't. Look at what he says in verses 36 to 37, or what our text says. It says this, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God." And then he goes on to say, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Because he has defied the armies of the living God. David wasn't happy. He was upset. He was angered. And I wonder what our reaction is in this day and age when all around us there is so much hatred towards God and his word. I know we're not going to go out and sling stones. I hope not. But I hope we go out and sling the gospel message. I hope we take time. I hope we're motivated enough. I hope we're not like the rest of the army of God, the rest of the Israelites who stood there shaking in their armor, wishing they had had the strength to stand. Do you stand for God's truth? Do I stand for God's truth? I'm not standing up here saying I do this perfectly. I don't. I fail all the time. But I need to look at David and go, look what this little shepherd boy did. He did not stand around. Well, this giant defied the armies of the living God. He knew whom he served. He knew what he could do. And he knew that God would have the victory. He rose up and said no more. Everyone else was running away. All the seasoned experts, all the strong men. They were all running the other direction. They were caving into this giant. They were full of fear. Giving into pressure. And there stands God's strong man. Not a giant. Just a boy. He wasn't a strong man. I guess we could say he was a strong boy. And he says, no more. And he stands. Look at verse 48. Verse 48 says this, as the Philistines moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Or sorry, as the Philistine, not the Philistines. David runs full on right at his enemy. Everyone else is running the other direction. David runs towards it and says, no more. No more. Everyone is running away. David challenges the giant, and then as the giant moves in to challenge him, David runs to the battle line. He won't run away. Do we stand in battle? In fact, do we run to the battle line? Are we willing to put ourselves out there? Will we stand in danger's way? Well, these are two of a myriad of lessons we could learn from this text today. Two of a myriad. But this evening I want to take the rest of our time, and just a few short minutes, and I want to look at something else. I want to zero in on an often overlooked bit of this scripture. At least it was for me, and maybe it's not for you. I shouldn't just say it is. I shouldn't just assume that it is, but it is for me. It's found in verses 38 through 40. It says this in verse 38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "Cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and, with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. And this is where I again want to spend just a few short minutes tonight. David was not used to them. It is such a beautiful picture right here in the middle of this amazing account. David was not used to man's armor. He wasn't used to it. And so what does he do? Well, he sets it aside and says, I cannot go in these. I can't go in these. And I wonder sometimes if that is precisely what my problem is. I want to put on the armor that the world holds out to me. Instead of God's armor, I want to wear the armor that's forged here in man's land instead of the armor that is forged in the kingdom of heaven. I want to put on this world's armor. David couldn't. David couldn't. He wasn't used to them. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6, and we will read verses 10 through 17. And while we read this short part of Paul's letter, think about David and what he was about to face. Think about whatever it is that you have to face this week or this month or maybe this coming year. We just started a new year. And think about what it is that's coming. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Our text says, take up the armor of God. We want to say, be like David. Notice he was not used to man's armor, and so he was not able to go forward with these things, for they would only slow him down. They would weaken him. Our text in 1 Samuel does not say it, but I'm sure that when he turned down the king's armor, many an eyebrow would have been raised. Here's this weak little boy going out into battle, and he's refusing the very thing that may give him a shot. He doesn't have any shot, but maybe it'll give him a chance. And he's just refusing it. It's a suicide mission. Is he crazy? I want to be like David, though. How about you? I want to be like David. I want to stand when everything else is done. I want to stand when I have explained the gospel message to the world and they still hate me. When I've lived a godly life and they will still mock me. When we have brought the word of God to them and they want to throw me in prison or execute me. Brothers and sisters, I want to stand firm. So how do we stand firm? The world wants us to wear the belt of compromise around our waist, doesn't it? The world wants us to wear the belt of compromise. We must wear the belt of truth. Truth is truth, and it is uncompromising and unchanging. I will wear this belt of truth. Will you? The world wants us to wear the breastplate of worldliness. Come on, it says, just a little. Stop being such a stick in the mud. That's what they say. Don't be a stick in the mud. No, not us. Brothers and sisters, we must put on the breastplate of righteousness. If we are to stand for a righteous God, we must wear the breastplate of righteousness. And I want to wear that breastplate. Do you want to wear that breastplate? Would you? The world wants our feet to be fitted with opposition that comes from lies and slander. It says, did you hear about this person or that person? And they drag us down in division and gossip. No, our feet, Christian, our feet must be fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of what? The gospel of peace. I want to wear these boots, would you? The world wants us to take up the shield of the seen as believing. And if we take up this shield, it will leave us open to every spiritual voice that is calling to us out there. No, we must take up the shield of faith, which is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It's Hebrews 11:1. And this shield will extinguish every one of those voices. Our text says fiery darts. And these voices that will call out us out of this great relationship that we have with Jesus, if that were possible, it will destroy the dart of the evil one. I will pick up this shield, would you? And the world wants us to wear the helmet of despair. It does. Do you notice the world says there's no God? And even if there was, you could not possibly know Him. It's despair. We must wear the helmet of salvation, which is found in Christ alone, through faith alone. And I would wear this helmet with you. And finally, the world wants us to pick up the sword of lies, which is found in self-help books, Save My Marriage books, and the list goes on and on ad nauseum. But they all preach the same message, and it is this: you can do it. It's all about you. Just believe in yourself, and you can do it. You can do anything. No, not us. We must pick up the sword of truth, which is the Word of God, and wield it with force and accuracy, and strike the enemy down. For as Paul said in Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. I will pick up this sword, would you? Christian brother and sisters in Christ tonight, are you uncomfortable in the armor that the world holds out to you? As I said, sometimes I'm ashamed to say that I can find myself getting comfortable in that armor. It's easy to do. Start neglecting things. Not in the Word, not in prayer, not serving, not meeting with brothers and sisters in Christ, having no accountability with anybody. It's so easy to get caught up in the armor of the world. Because in the end, the world wants you to rely on you. And I can't rely on me. And the bad news is you can't rely on yourself. Maybe tonight you're here and you think you can. Let me promise you, you can't. It's a waste of your time. We can only rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can only rely on the armor that the Lord has held out to us. I cannot do it. And so, to close, I must say with David, I cannot continue. I am not used to it. How about you? Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would, by a work of your mercy and grace, put on the armor that is befitting a child of the King. That we would, like David, when all else is done, that we would stand when everybody else is running the other way, Lord, caving into compromise, caving into fear, caving into the world, caving into sinful desires, caving into godlessness. Lord, that your church would stand, that your children would stand strong, and against this rising tide of wickedness, that we would cast a stone of the gospel. That your word would go forth, that there would be those, Lord, that would be saved. Help us, Lord, to stand. Give us the courage and the ability in these times, in this time where you have put us, your sovereign hand has put us right at this time, right now, to stand for you. Help us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.